John, can you talk first for me about the entire 2006-07 season for the Vancouver Giants? The pressure that you faced, you know, coming off a league championship, knowing that you were hosting the Memorial Cup, and knowing that in every single game you played that season, you had a target on your back. What was the regular season and then the playoff like for you, knowing that you had all of those factors in mind?
Yeah, it was definitely an intense season and a stressful one, you know, because like you said, you went to the Memorial Cup the year before, and then knowing you're hosting it, you're going to be in it no matter what happens. So you kind of want to have a good year because you don't want to have an embarrassing year and just, you know, be out in round two of playoffs and then wait a month and have the Memorial Cup. You kind of want to have a strong team and a strong finish and then get ready for that Memorial Cup. And, you know, that full year, yeah, we had a target on our back, but we were for sure very, very good. And I think people were probably pretty scared to come into the Coliseum on a Friday night. You know, they saw who they're going to play and they knew what they were going to expect. And it was definitely a fun year, and couldn't ask for a better finish. Winning at home ice in front of 17,000 people, and you know, the memories are still there, and it was an unbelievable time to be Vancouver Giants.
So, John, I mean, I've talked to a number of guys about that season, and one of the common things that they mention is just how well the coaching staff, the management, the organization, the word prepared comes up an awful lot. And I think obviously Don Hayes' experience with Memorial Cups and being around the block a few times, you know, with this event sure helped. But how much did that help you guys, having a coaching staff and having a, you know, I guess a regimented plan in place where, you know, it even is a matter of, you know, not getting too high, not getting too low, kind of like having that proper equilibrium that accompanies hosting an event like this?
Yeah, I mean, it made all the difference. From Don and Craig and Ron, they've all experienced Memorial Cups, and I'm pretty sure we probably kept the same schedule Don had when he was coaching back in the 90s with the Blazers. Even in off days, we'd go to the rink and watch the game, watch the other teams play as a team. You know, we'd sit in our locker and watch it on TV, and we'd talk about the games. And I'm sure he was doing that when he was coaching before that. But I think just us as a group of guys, the majority of us being in the Memorial Cup the year before, we kind of had that experience as well as, you know, of what to expect on playing early games, you know, or a back-to-back, and just kind of like the atmosphere of being on national TV in Canada, and all those things went a long way the year before for the guys, just to be able to experience that. And it's obviously different at home here. We have family that are flying in, and, you know, for Don and our coaches, they made sure family stayed away from the players, and we had our immediate focus just on the games and stuff like that, and that we didn't have to entertain them or anything like that. So I think the team has been there before and they knew that kind of scenarios, and, you know, there's just another little thing they were prepared for, and that made it easier for us as players just focusing on winning, you know, a Memorial Cup.
John, do your best for me to summarize the rivalry with Medicine Hat. The respect factor, but also the fact that I'm sure you badly wanted to beat them and vice versa. And then you add the wrinkle of the fact that you meet them in the WHL final, 7-game double overtime. We know how that went, but even to this day, I'm sure when someone says Medicine Hat Tigers, I'm sure it elicits some sort of reaction from you. What do you remember about the rivalry?
Yeah, it was definitely a rivalry that just came about. You know, when you're playing an Eastern Conference team, you don't see them much in the Western League. You see them, you know, twice, so you're not too familiar with them. But when you're playing them in 7 games and overtimes and playoffs, and then you lose to them, and then, you know, you have a chance to have redemption in the Memorial Cup, it becomes a huge rivalry. You're playing those guys 9 times, I think, in 3 weeks, so you're familiar with every player, their tendencies, you know, what they do, and, you know, it all comes about just who makes the least amount of mistakes and who wants it more. And, you know, being in home ice was a great factor for us, and, you know, it was a hell of a championship game and, you know, very exciting to be a part of.
What do you remember about Lewiston and Plymouth, the other two teams that were involved in the 2007 tournament?
Yeah, Lewiston, you know, David Perron, they had a real good skill team. You know, like you said, it just, when you play teams from other leagues, it's kind of almost a different style. You know, back then, Western Hockey League was more of a grind them, you know, wear them down, rough and tough. And when you're playing teams from the OHL and Quebec League, they're a little more skilled and, you know, have a little more, a little flair to them. So it's definitely a different aspect of playing those two teams. And, you know, playing Plymouth, I think, either, I don't know, if, I think not the round robin, but the quarterfinals, you know, when you put up 8 goals against them at home, it's pretty cool to do that in a big tournament and send them home packing.
Well, and I mean, the interesting wrinkle for me looking back is that, you know, you take away that 8-1 game, a lot of the games in the tournament were extremely close. I mean, if you look at, you know, even the games that the Giants played in, you get the 4-3 overtime win against Plymouth to start the event, a 2-1 win over Lewiston. It was a late goal there to kind of give you the win. Wacy Rabbit scoring late into the third period to give you that one, and then the 1-0 game against Medicine Hat. I feel like it was all kind of leading into the final where you were in for another, you know, close game, as you mentioned, where that final mistake would cost you, kind of thing. But how comfortable were the Giants playing in close games when you think back to the team you had and the way it was constructed?
Oh, we were built from goaltending to defense to forwards out. You know, our whole mindset with Don was always defense first mentality and, you know, checking and, you know, being over the options. And once you frustrate teams, they're going to make mistakes and we're going to capitalize. So it was all about discipline with the teams Don coached. And I think you could see that by, you know, the goals that we would let up. I mean, like you said, they're all low scoring games and not giving up much. So our pride was just playing defense first. And we knew if we got in a couple chances, we were going to bear down. But that's what I would have to say about that.
So the night before the final, you know that it's going to be chapter 9 of the Vancouver Medicine Hat rivalry. I think I remember hearing that it was the 9th time that you were going to face these guys almost within a span of about 2 or 3 weeks. But the nerves, the excitement, the everything that goes into the eve of a game like that, what do you remember about the night before or even the drive to the rink that day, John? Does anything come to mind that you remember about, you know, the 12 hours or so before puck drop?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't remember too much about the night before. I don't even remember if we were sleeping in a hotel the night before or out of billets. I can't really recall. But I remember the day of the game. You know, it was an afternoon game and pulling up in our team bus into the parking lot. And they kind of dropped us off a little further in the parking lot. All the fans were out there and we were walking through and, you know, just to see the fans say good luck, go get them, you know, go win a championship, kind of got the guys fired up. And, you know, just seeing guys with their headphones in and everyone was focused on that bus. And when we got to the rink, we knew it was business. It was some people's last junior games, you know, as 20-year-olds that they were going to be part of. And everyone wanted that chance to win and go down in history. And just like I said, playing in front of 17,000 people and white out, just the atmosphere, it's you know, something that's pretty hard to forget when you're a 17-year-old kid, you know.
So in the first period, when Milan goes out there and hits everything in sight, he has the fight. Did you have any idea at that point in time, John, that the shift would become such a viral highlight all these years later?
No, not a chance. I think it was kind of like, at that point in the game, people still kind of testing each other out. You know, you're at a huge stage in the finals. You know, you don't want to make a mistake and stuff. So it was kind of just little back and forth, nothing really happening. And then when Milan came on the ice there and took over that shift, I think that really made it real, made it like, just we're here, we're gonna win this title. And they got the crowd in and it got us into it, and everyone got pretty fired up after that.
So one of the crazy things for me when I think back to that game, John, is the fact that the shots on goal were 40-15 in favor of the Giants that game. So on the one side, you hold the Tigers to 15 shots, two coming in the third period when the game was tied 1-1. Tell me about the defensive structure, I suppose, and the pride that you kind of took in your ability to keep that attack down. Yet at the same time, there's got to be a bit of, like, was there any frustration building because Matt Keatley at the other side was making, you know, 37 saves? Or was this just a matter of staying patient, staying the course, trusting what we're here to do, and knowing that sooner or later it's going to happen for us? Walk me through that.
Yeah, I think it was more of just the fact that we keep playing the way we do. We prided ourselves on playing defense first, and in the locker room, we held each other accountable if that wasn't the case. But we knew we were going to have to be our best defensively. And anytime you could give up 15 shots and two in the third, and you got a goalie playing really well down there, and they could have one lucky bounce and stuff like that. But you know, you can't get too frustrated and stick to the plan. We had a plan going into the game, and we did that. But like you said, 40 shots is something we want to do. Our goal is always 15 shots. When we were back then, 15 shots in the period and 20 hits and everything, we would set goals for every period. And, you know, anytime you can put 15 shots on a goalie, he's going to wear out, especially if you look at it. I think we played 22, 23 playoff games plus World Cup, 72 regular season, preseason. You know, you're playing over 100 games, and, you know, doesn't matter how pumped up you are for a game, you're going to get tired and you're going to wear out. And I think that's what we did. You look at that game-winning goal, you know, a wraparound. It's not pretty, but it's just getting the puck to the net. And, you know, he was probably a little fatigued on that goal. So we were fortunate enough to get that.
So when that horn sounds and you realize that you are a Memorial Cup champion at home with the only junior hockey team that you ever knew, what, like, you've been in World Juniors, you've been at the Olympics, you've been in the NHL playoffs, yet something that you've repeatedly come back to in this conversation, John, is the fact that there were 17,000 people in that building that were just electric. Where does that moment kind of rank for you in hockey, given all that you have been fortunate enough to accomplish over the course of your career?
Yeah, it's definitely one of the top ones for sure. Anytime you win a championship, doesn't matter at what level of hockey, it's something special. And they say the Memorial Cup's one of the hardest trophies to win, because you got to win your own league and then you got to go against three leagues total. So you know, there's 59, 60 teams battling for that one spot. And when you're standing at the top of the mountain, it's a great view. And I remember I was on the ice for the last shift, and as 2-3 seconds left, they dumped the puck down and it was over. And I was skating towards Sexy, and I turned around and I launched my stick in the crowd, and I always remember that moment when I tossed my stick in the crowd and just took off my helmet, gloves, and everything, and just winning it for the fans that have always been there, and just having your family there. It was a very special moment. And you know, going back a few years ago to the 10-year reunion and seeing everyone and just reminiscing about it and having some drinks and stuff like that, it's a pretty cool experience to do.
You know, kind of to bring this full circle, John, I mean, obviously time has passed and you go on. I mean, for some it was pro hockey, including yourself. For others, it's real estate. For others, it's any number of different things. But, you know, you're kind of forever going to be linked to this achievement and to this moment. I know you're pretty vigilant about, you know, checking in on the Vancouver Giants and box scores and how they're doing. It's kind of one of those things that never really leaves you, right? I mean, you're kind of forever going to be associated with this organization, and even with a family and kids running around and kind of figuring out, you know, plans to get back to Sweden to continue playing. I mean, can you just talk maybe to bring this all home about the pride that remains with you to this day, to have had this moment, to have had the time that you had with the Giants?
Yeah, Vancouver is very special. You know, it's, I like to think about it as my second home. They raised me as a young kid and turned me into a man by the, when I was 20, and I learned a lot, met a lot of great people there, and you know, in the next few years, I'd love to come bring my family up there and show them kind of where I played hockey and grew up, and see a couple of Giants games and everything like that. I love keeping track of the Giants. They were such a great organization, and just they surrounded each other, you know, with the best people from the top all the way to the bottom, to, you know, the billets and people that sold tickets. Everyone was tremendous, and you know, you meet lifelong friends and memories there that you'll never forget. And you know, one day it would be nice to maybe come back and try to coach them one day. So I love the city. I love Vancouver. I love where we grew up and the schools and everything like that. So it's very special, and that's why, you know, I like to keep track of how they do, and you know, I care how they do. You know, when they're not making playoffs for a few years, you know, it hurts to see, you because you know, it's such a pristine prestige organization, and you know, it was nice to see them back on top a year or two ago when they were in the finals.